Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Baylor Wilson. You are a Dallas native, which is roughly where I'm sitting right now. So
yeah,
we're doing, you know, two Texans here, a podcast interview, but 1,200 miles away.
Yes, so I'm from Dallas, but I now live in Nashville, Tennessee.
This could have been my first in-person interview in a year and a half.
Oh, dang it.
Man, so close.
I was in Dallas like 3 days ago, so that would have been great. Dang it.
Yeah, man, if only we knew.
It's okay. Zoom is a blessing in this time of crazy.
Just even when you started the podcast, oh, what was that, 2019, I think, the summer, shows were still running crazy. Well, everybody comes through Dallas, it seems.
Yeah.
Especially this coming October, as concerts are starting to open back up and stuff. Seems like everybody's coming through here, just like within a month span.
I know. I'm praying that that stays that way.
Yes.
I know. It's just, we just don't know what's going to happen. We never know. But the Lord is good, regardless. Yeah.
We need to get the live music back and that encouragement. I don't know, personally, I think, you know, kind of pushing past the fear. Don't be stupid, but
yeah.
Just kind of pushing past the fear, because I think one of the things that we've really noticed over this last year and a half is that we really need each other. We really need that corporate worship with God. We really need to do this with other people, not off in our own silos.
We all know that like isolation can become habitual. You're not just isolating because of COVID. After the fact, you kind of get addicted to it because it's just convenient. I don't really want to go anywhere. I like my own house. You know, I like to watch live stream, but you're really, unfortunately, it's just not the same as being in person. It's just not. There's a difference between like fellowshipping in person than over the TV or the phone. Yeah. I'm thankful for that, but it's different, like you said.
Yeah, so when we started this 2 years ago, I kind of relied on who was coming through. We did a couple of phones, but yeah, it was just a lot of, you know, who was coming through. So yeah, I mean, Zoom has been incredible through this whole process.
Yes.
Being able to connect and just even video chatting, like we underestimate just the face-to-face conversational pieces with other people.
100%. That's the lost art of human relationships. Like something I've always loved. This sounds simple, but like going to coffee with friends. Yep. Always. And when coffee shops shut down for me, for little old Baylor here in Nashville, I thought my life was over. So I'm thankful to have things opened back up. And obviously for this situation, to be able to Zoom with you is a blessing. So
I figure if we're going to talk about isolation, we should probably touch on the survivor thing. I mean, I feel like that's a good segue to that. Totally did not plan it, but here we are.
That's a great segue. Good job. Way to go. Way to connect that dot to there. I love it. Yeah. I mean, I was 20 years old. My mom and I got asked to be on the show CBS Survivor, and we said yes. So we went out, two crazy Texas women, out to Nicaragua, where my season was filmed, and it was season 29. And spoiler alert, we made it to the final five.
And so crazy. And I was reading through some of where you're talking about some of that. Just have never started a fire in your life on your own.
Nope.
Which, coming from Dallas, big city girl, I totally get that.
Yeah. I mean, we were prepared in the sense of like someone telling us what to do. But there's a difference between audible learning and like kinesthetic. Like I had never put my hands in the dirt and gone out and found the things you need to make a fire. You know what I mean? I had never been put in that situation to have to need to do that. I've been camping on and off, but someone else always did that part. So when I was forced to do it to survive, it was humbling. And I'm grateful that I now have that in my toolbox of life skills. So if the world ends, everyone come to Baylor's house.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I grew up in the middle of Wyoming and I was never a huge camper. As you're talking about that, I'm not 100% sure that I could just get a couple of sticks and make a fire myself.
Right.
I mean, from the countryside.
See, I'm telling you, I don't know why that's not a class in school, but I think it should be.
Yeah, between that, how to balance your checkbook, man, they stopped teaching you how to do that kind of stuff in high school.
Yeah. They definitely didn't tell me what taxes were and how to save for the taxes that you're charged at the end of the year. Yeah.
With hunting, you know, I grew up in the middle of Wyoming, never learned how to hunt. When the grocery stores seemed like they didn't have anything, you know, that thought kind of creeps past your mind a little bit.
Yeah, the thought creeps in, like, should I go make my own food? Like, do I need to go, like, what I did on Survivor, which is catch crabs with a spear?
Well, and I joke with my mom now, because I always wanted to do that when I was a kid, go out with my stepdad hunting or whatever, and she was like, no, not unless you absolutely need it to survive. And now I can be a little bit more smart aleck, especially since there's distance between us.
Yes.
She can't smack me right away, but it's like,
right. And
if I don't practice, if I don't know how am I ever going to need to do it if I ever have to do it to survive? Usually gets met with a dirty look now, but.
Right, right. But she can't hit you, so it's fine.
Exactly.
Well, mamas do know best, even if it's coming from a protective place. She probably is coming from a place that's like, I made you dinner. You're not going to go kill an animal. You're going to eat what I made you.
Well, she also knew middle school me, and putting a rifle in my hands probably was not the most warm and comforting thing in her mind.
Yeah. Every middle school age boy should not be operating a firearm.
I could see it from her perspective, where that might be a little sketchy.
Yeah. So funny.
From a top five finish in Survivor, if I read right, the season was going against family members. So you and your mom were fighting against each other.
Yeah, that was really hard. I mean, it started out with us against each other, and then we made it far enough in the game to where we got to the merge, which is what they call on the show when both sides of the teams come together. And then we were the last standing couple or duo family members that were together still. And then I got voted out.
I have not watched Survivor since like season 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look at this one here. Watch that. Cause I mean, it's just crazy. Now, you know, somebody that you've met somebody that's been on there.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely more fun when you know of somebody, I think, cause you can like ask questions directly. Like, so was that real? Was that not real? That kind of thing.
You're seeing somebody's journey. Cause I mean, at a certain point, Survivor's like, what? They get dropped off on an island. They try and make it to the end, season end.
Yes.
We've seen this 45 times now, or however many seasons that there are now.
It's crazy. It's never ending. I don't watch that show anymore because it's too many. It's too much. I can't keep up.
But, you know, when you see somebody that you know, or like an artist that went through or whatever, like I just even shows like The Voice or American Idol or whatever, it's different when you know somebody. A buddy of mine went through The Voice a few years back. He was on the worship team in Casper, Wyoming for a while. And then all of a sudden now he's going through The Voice, and you know, and we were able to be a lot more invested into the season because we knew who this was, as opposed to just another season running through. And you know, you find somebody to kind of,
you're rooting for your home team person.
Although that kind of ruined The Voice for me because he got kicked off just because.
Yeah. Christina, and then you're, like, oh, well then, yeah, don't ever watch it again.
Yeah. We haven't watched it since. It kind of ruined it for us.
I understand. I promise I get that.
So you're able to do a little bit from the Survivor thing, start your country music. I mean, you were originally going to be a professional cheerleader.
Yeah.
And going to OU, which, heck yes, OU.
Yeah, Boomer Sooner. That's awesome.
Growing up in Wyoming, like, I'm still a huge Wyoming fan. But we had an uncle that lived in Norman, Oklahoma, right around there.
Huge OU fan. No way.
And so he kind of, there's a couple of us brothers here that have become OU fans, you know, kind of down the line.
I love it.
And
yeah,
wear that with honor. And we're kind of blended territory here in Dallas. It's half UT, half OU.
It is. And it sometimes if you know, an out-of-state person asks me, why are you an Oklahoma fan? You're from Texas. I'm like, you don't get it. Like, there are other Oklahoma fans in Texas. So, yeah, I was a senior in high school. And my dream at that point was to be a professional cheerleader, you know, was to go be a collegiate athlete. And I got to Norman, Oklahoma, like you said, and this was May of 2012, and I was trying out for the cheer team, and I didn't make it, and I was, like, devastated. That was the picture of my future that I had taken like a Polaroid photo, and it was just being like ripped in front of me, just burned up. What I found out later was that was God's sovereign plan for my life, was to close that door so kindly for me, because I would have just barged right through it. And the Lord totally divinely connected me and, of all people, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. They were staying at the bed and breakfast that my mom and I were staying at in Norman, Oklahoma. And so we met them, and they started to kind of pour into my mom and I. And, you know, my mom was walking through something, and now I'm walking through something in life. And so these sweet older country musicians, they felt like angels to me, like old uncle angels. Basically, Jeff Hanna, the lead singer, looked at me and was like, Taylor, what are you doing in Norman? Like, you need to move to Nashville. He heard a couple of my songs that I had written. So I moved to Nashville. It was crazy, the process of just up and leaving your hometown, you know, and coming here.
As you're talking about the cheerleading, just to diverge just, you know, half a second, it just really occurred to me just how big the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are down here. When you're going through that and just seeing some friends of mine who have kids that are going through that, that's kind of a huge thing, just a huge cultural thing here in Dallas.
It's a huge thing. Cheerleading in Texas in and of itself is just a big deal, and the surrounding states. But yeah, my mom owned a cheerleading gym. So I grew up, that was like blood, sweat, and tears. I cheered. 5, 6, 7, 8 was like my language, you know? When that all ended and the door was kind of slammed in my face, it was really sad in the moment. But there was some, I don't know, there was some inner peace that I felt. Now I know it was Jesus. But there was this like, I was sad, but I was okay with it ending, because I knew that God had something else for me. And clearly this is what it is Jesus songs.
Just the more like we pair into this, like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders now, like it just came up to me that my cousins all did cheerleading, you know, and they all had their little football teams that they cheered for, that it was kind of like a league with partnered with another league. And sorry, it's just all like flooding back into my brain, like all crazy like stuff that I haven't even thought about in years. I haven't even thought about my cousins and all the cheerleading and the homecoming stuff that they did in years and years and years.
Yep. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So moving, you went to college at Belmont, if I remember right.
Yep. I moved to Nashville and enrolled at Belmont University and somehow graduated in 4 years, even though the whole time I was in school, I was pursuing music. So I would show up to class and sort of be motivated, but really my mind was on Music Row or at the Bluebird Cafe, or those were my dreams. So yeah, I was pursuing music and playing writers rounds and doing that whole thing, and graduated and got my first publishing deal with Brad Paisley's company here in town, and signed a publishing deal. Yeah, it was awesome. And I signed and started writing songs full time and performing. And that entire time I was doing that, I was loving it, and like on the outside, it looked like it was amazing. But as time progressed and as my personal life started to kind of like go downward, the downward slope, like the high was going, I was coming off the high, and I realized that something was missing. And what it was Jesus. I just didn't know it. That's when I started to kind of take my foot off the pedal a little bit and start to ask questions.
I was reading a little bit about the story about Jesus happened. Now, talk a little bit about that kind of experience and where that came from.
Yeah. So like I was saying, I was signed to this major publishing company here in Nashville, and on the outside, on Instagram, on social, on everything, I was quote unquote living the dream. That's what we used to say when you run into each other. It's like, what are you up to? I'm just living the dream. And that's what I was doing, except for the fact that my heart and my spirit was just not okay. And one day I was sitting at a coffee shop, and a girlfriend of mine from college walked over to me, and she was like, Taylor, oh my gosh, hi, I haven't seen you in so long. And I noticed that something had changed in her and around her. I could tell that there was just a lot more light shining through her countenance. I said, like, what have you been up to? And she said, well, I've been going to this new worship service every week. It's a worship night. We just kind of like jam out. You should come. You would love it. So I showed up that Friday. I walked into this, what I thought was going to be a church building, but it was a car shop. It was an auto body car shop here in Nashville. Yep. I was like, what denomination is this? I don't know what I'm walking into. Not sure. But as I walked in, what I experienced was the tangible presence of the Lord. I had never experienced the Holy Spirit manifesting like that ever. And what it felt like was nothing crazy or weird. It was just like peace. I just felt like a invisible weighted blanket. It was just this peace surrounding me from all directions. It was simply because these people were worshiping God. They were worshiping actual Jesus in the room. That set me up for being saved, like being actually born again. And after that night, I returned back to my friend groups and my lifestyle and my go, go, go mentality, you know, grind, hustle, do the whole thing, live the dream, whatever. And I just couldn't do it anymore. I just had no motivation to make everything about me any longer. It just wasn't worth it to me. And so I started reading the scriptures and reading my Bible, and my mind was being completely rewired and renewed during that time. And one of the things that these old friends would say to me is, Baylor, you're so different. What happened to you? Like, you don't go out and drink anymore. You don't cuss. You don't want to, you know, like all that kind of thing. The story shortened down to two words, you know, my testimony, which is every Christian's testimony, which is, you know what, guys, Jesus happened. That's what happened to me. You want to know what happened? Jesus happened. So yeah, that's where the song came from, is that radical encounter that I had with the Lord.
That's incredible. At the church I'm at now, like, I've really learned to worship more. Like, I mean, I've been a Christian. That's never really kind of been a thing that kind of wavered away. I can't really say that that's part of the testimony, but just getting plugged into the worship team and just being involved in this church here, like, when that switch flipped, it's a whole different story.
It's a whole different story.
You know, you do your music thing in the middle, you know, at the beginning of the service, it's kind of cool. And then you kind of get into the message. Yeah. You just kind of do your thing for church and you come out refreshed. But when that worship clicks, when just that moment of worship clicks, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, considering the fact that the Lord calls us to be worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth, I think there is something powerful when we actually decide to worship the one that we say we worship, to not just say we know about God, but to get to know him. I think there's a radical difference, considering to know God is to have eternal life. So that's why I had such a shift in my lifestyles, because I knew all about God. I knew what church meant. I knew the quote unquote, the gospel. I knew John 3:16. I knew whatever, all that, but I didn't know Jesus himself. When you fall in love with Jesus and you know him and you let him know you, it's over. I mean, that's the greatest love story we're all looking for.
I don't know in the churches that you grew up in, but you know, the worship, we kind of ran in like Paul Baloche.
Yeah.
Lincoln Brewster was starting to kind of do a bit when I was starting to do worship.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, growing up for me, the only Christian music that I was exposed to was either church songs in church, which were like hymns or the worship songs of that time, the CCLI songs, or it was like Point of Grace, which my mom was playing on repeat in our house.
Goodness.
But other than that, yeah, I mean, those, when I'm walking in the dead of night and my soul is turning, shine a light and pierce the dark, keep the candle burning.
Oh my goodness.
All that kind of stuff.
Takes me
back. All those songs. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was exposed to. But other than that, I really didn't know. I wasn't exposed to a lot of Christian music until I started writing it. Nowadays, I'll listen to anything from, you know, Upper Room worship to Maverick City to Stephanie Gretzinger, all the worshipers that are creating worship music.
And I guess kind of where I was going, I've been starting to listen to more of that worship sound, get into that, because especially when I was starting with the worship band back in Goodnight to like 2006, 2007, in some of the places, like the worship pastor up there was doing a lot of Israel Houghton at the time.
Yes. See, but I love Israel Houghton.
Oh, yeah. It was just the style, the kind of the gospel style, but, you know, we also did some of the Lincoln Brewster stuff. We did a little bit of the Matt Mars. I think it was starting to come through.
Yeah.
At the time. But, you know, it's just kind of more of the, it wasn't necessarily worship kind of songs. So I kind of bought into the jokes of Hillsong has to buy new keyboards all the time because the copy C or control C is always worn out because they're repeating over and over again. You know, like I didn't really get a lot of that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it was, you know, you have your verse, chorus, you know, whatever, and then the song is done. When that switch flipped from being able to say, you know, hey, this is worship. You know, I know it's repeating a couple of times, but let this sit for a minute. You know, just
let this marinate in your spirit.
Yeah, that's kind of that switch that flipped, you know, and just that true worship. And it's like, wow, what have I been missing all this time?
Wow. Amen. That's totally how I felt too. I mean, if you came to my church, you'd be like, oh man, they sing the same thing for 3 hours. Yeah. We will sing the name Jesus over and over again, because at about the 60th time, you actually start to look at him, you know, because sometimes us as humans, we just need the reminder over and over and over.
Well, and it was, we were at a taping thing for Leland back in February, I think. I don't know, time's so fluid for me anymore.
Yeah.
But we just had a moment where we just sang the same chorus, I think for like 10, 15 minutes straight in the middle of this whole thing. I mean, and
it's amazing.
I have no idea how long it could have been, only like 5 minutes, who knows? But just the way, you know, it sat in that moment, and just in that moment of worship. Like, I know 5, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have even been, I would have been like, okay, where's the coffee? Where, you know, when can we be done with this? Woo! Like,
yeah, I totally know what you're saying. I think people are starting to realize that their little schedules that they have, you know, what church should look like, what church should feel like, and how comfortable it should be for you, and yada, yada, yada. I think a lot of that is being shifted because people are desperate for truth. There are people that are hungry to worship the actual God, like actual Jesus. So yeah, I love what you're saying. Like, I think it's okay to write a 3.5 minute song. I'm one of those artists that writes those, but I also love spending my time, whether it's in church or by myself, at the piano for 15 minutes, singing the same thing over and over again.
And so now we have the album that's coming out here, or no, sorry, the EP that's coming out here shortly.
Yes.
Speaking of it's writing coming music. Out
August 13th. I'm so excited. It's 4 songs, and Jesus Happened is on it. And then the second single is called Joy Comes in the Morning, which is so much fun. It's like, it's a joy bomb. The whole song is a joy bomb. You just want to dance and talk about worship. I mean, you want to worship, you want to raise your hands in the air. It's based off the verse, Psalm 30, verse 5, I think, where it says, though your weeping may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. And that's the entire song. It's basically just me singing scripture. And then there's another song called Jesus Wrote Me a Letter, which is, it's based on a dream that I had in 2019, where Jesus physically wrote me a letter in the dream. That entire song is super personal and amazing. Like, it's just pointing you back to the thought of, you have the Bible, you have a letter that was specifically written to you as a Christian, to me, to you. It's like, we have the best love letter that everyone's looking for. And the chorus, it's reminding everybody that he said that he is the way and he's the truth and he's the life. It's amazing. It's amazing. I can't wait for that song. And then the last one is kind of like my Christian Kumbaya song called All the Way Home. It's just basically I wrote it with Matthew West and Jeff Pardo. It's talking about that we're all on a journey. We decided to follow Jesus and we're on our way all the way home to heaven. And I'm so excited about it. All 4 songs are like super complimentary and worshipful and fun. Like, I just pray that these songs are like the next generation's Christian music they grew up on. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. That's awesome.
So that's the goal. That's my hope. That's my prayer.
You're saying Joy Comes in the Morning. That reminds me of a song that, going back to some of the old worship songs, I just cannot get a line out of my head when I hear that. And it makes me smile too. You know, the joy. Do you remember Trading My Sorrows?
No, who's that?
Oh my gosh. So maybe I'm showing my age a little bit.
Well, no, but just remember, I didn't grow up on the main Christian songs. I wish I would have. I still need to like study them.
Well, this is who did it originally? There's a few people who did it. It was kind of the worship genre, or it was one of the main worship songs. And
okay.
We did a lot, you know,
camp. I might know it. If you sang it, I might know it.
I don't know if we should do that on a podcast. That might be, that's where people like hit next end episode. Next,
no, I'll look it up after.
I don't know if you remember the.
Oh, there you go. It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it would have been huge in the worship, you know, back in 2003, 2005-ish. It was kind of like one of the main, you know, campfire songs, you know, for church camps. And
what you were just playing sounded like every move I make, I'm making you.
What are the chords for that one? I know what you're saying. Are we gonna do like every old school?
Move I make, I'm making you. Make me move, Jesus.
All right, let's do this. Let's do. I think this is a great way to end this karaoke. worship karaoke.
Christian karaoke. Worship karaoke. Yep. That's high for me, but I love it.
Yeah. Now, the fun part about this is the delay on Zoom. You really can't, like, truly get into, like, a good karaoke side.
Waves of mercy. Yeah.
Well, it's all about the na-nas on that song.
Yeah. That is, especially the Christian camps, the Young Lifes. It's the na-nas where you jump up and down in circles.
No,
it's awesome.
Let's find out when, now that we asked the question, when did that come out? Trading My Sorrow. Who did that? Daryl Evans is who wrote that, or who brought that out first.
Okay. I don't know that name.
It's a song that I remember from, you know, like I said, it was around that time that the bridge breaks down into, though the sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes with the morning. And
no way.
Tags right into the chorus.
That's awesome. Well, I'll have to look it up after this because I haven't heard it.
You know, 2005 Worship Essentials.
There you go. I'll have to update my Spotify playlists.
Yes. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you spending the time with us here, and so much fun.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for including me in RT.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.